I noticed a little bit more energy in the room, and I got to tell you, I really like it. It feels really great. I just got to do this one time, but could I just ask, are any few students in the room this morning by chance? Oh, man. Well, if you are a guest with us, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Andrew Layden. I serve as the student pastor for Genesis Metro Church and for our Fuse Student Ministries. As you can tell, we just got back from an amazing, life-changing week in Estes Park, Colorado. And if you know, oh, man, if these kids can get off the bus and be this excited about the Texas heat after being in the mountains, you know God must have done something up in Colorado. Amen? Awesome. Well, I just want to take a brief minute and first and foremost, I want to honor Pastor Tim and Carrie for this opportunity to be able to speak. They're taking some time to invest in their family. Does anybody love our pastors here at GM? Anybody else? Man, we love you guys. Thank you so much. So it is Camp Sunday. This morning, we're going to focus on some incredible things. There was so much life change that happened this week at camp. I mean, so much life change. Even if you didn't get to go, we really want to share some of that inspiration from our week with you. And you know, a lot of times people say, what's kind of the magic secret sauce of camp, if you will? And as I've thought, I've been through camp since I was in seventh grade. Every single summer, I have been at some form or fashion of a youth group camp in some way, shape, or form. So I've done camp my whole life, and there's just something about it. And as I've prayed and processed through what makes camp so special, I've realized when we take time a week of our lives to remove distractions, leave our phones at home, come on, somebody, or get it taken on the bus because you thought your leaders weren't paying attention. But to go away for a week, remove distraction, and gather with like-minded believers seeking the same thing, the face of Jesus, things happen in our life. Amen? I believe that is how God has called us to live every single day, not just at camp. So we saw so much life change, and today we're going to celebrate some of those stories while also inviting you to participate in the process. I believe that God has an invitation for every single one of us this morning to invest in our participation. And that's kind of the key word I'm going to be talking a lot about this morning is this concept of investment, investing and investment. One big thing is that we invest in the next generation. That is a core belief, a core value at Genesis Metro Church. We invest in the next generation. We believe that it is key and so important that we pour into our students. And I love watching our students pour into our zone. And it just continues on and on. How many of you maybe have heard the term pay it forward? Has anybody familiar? You know, like when you go into Starbucks and someone says, hey, the person in the car in front of you paid it forward and they paid for your drink. Would you like to pay it forward for the person behind you? And you say, oh, yeah, thank you. They said that'll be $53 for their, hopefully that's never happened to you before. But this idea of pay it forward, it's the same concept of investment that when we invest in someone and life change happens and then they turn around and then they go invest in someone and life change happens and then that person and so on and so forth. So much life change happens when we invest. And I have a story to share to specifically illustrate how this happened. So the very last night was a powerful, powerful night at camp, really incredible. And we were there, started the evening probably sometime between 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. We began sharing stories and testimonies of all that God has done. We were there till close to 2 o'clock in the morning, just listening to story after story after story of life change. And what was incredible, more than just hearing the stories of life change that we heard from each student, was the fact that in the moment of them sharing and investing their story into their peers and saying, this is what God has done in my life, just hearing the stories of their peers, we had 4 students in that time come to know Jesus Christ from their peers. Amazing. We saw family members sharing, and you would see brother or sister sharing down there, and you'd see that lip started to quiver, and then they would charge down there, give them the big bear hug. But we saw families come together. We saw, because of the investment of one family member, another family member was saved. I mean, it was a chain reaction, and that's really what investment is. It's a chain reaction. It's contagious. And the biggest thing is that your investment as a church causes life change. We saw that first hand this week. And when we all experience life change, we all win. Amen. This morning, not only will we celebrate that life change, but I briefly want to look at a quick passage of scripture that's really going to show us an example of how our investment is an invitation to participate in the process. And you can read with me on the screen from John chapter 6, verse 5. Maybe you've heard of this story before. We call it Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now, you'll see in the scripture, realistically, there was this large crowd coming to listen to Jesus for a long period of time, so much so that, listen, we have to feed these people. And these 5,000 were counted by men, not including the women and the children. So we have the potential of thousands of people who are following Jesus for an extended period of time, listening, and to the point where the disciples turn around and this is what happens. Jesus looked up in verse 5. He saw a great crowd coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where should we buy bread for these people to eat? We're getting hungry." He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So there was a problem to solve. We see an issue. These people have been following us. They're hungry. We need to feed them. Thousands of people. And verse 6 is a little bit of a hint of what Jesus is doing. He said, even in the problem, Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. And he initiated this by saying, here's the problem. And he put the disciples into a test because Jesus had a solution. Jesus had the provision. He had the plan. But the disciples said, we've got to come up with some solutions. We've got a problem. We should solve it. And so the disciples came up with two brilliant, brilliant ideas in their own logic. And here's the two ideas that they came up with. Verse 7 says, Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He said, here's a boy with 5 small loaves of bread, 2 small fish, but how are we gonna make that go among all the people? So they had two practical ways they were trying to solve the issue, but their big ideas were completely confined to human logic. Idea number one, and I think a lot of us have been in this situation before, there's an issue, can we buy our way out? Can we buy our way out? Well, it would take half a year's salary and we still wouldn't even make a dent. We still would not be able to feed everyone. So that's out the window because we want to buy our way out, but we don't have enough. And so another disciple, Andrew, comes up and he says, well, what if we just use what we have without God's blessing? But again, there's still not enough. There's just 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. And I think the lesson that we all learn that we can relate to very strongly this morning is that we often see what we have as the limitation for how much we can help. We often see what we have as the limitation of how much we can help. We begin to put God inside of a box that, here's what I think is possible. And the problem is when we put God in this box, the box can only expand as far as we can. The box can only expand to our biggest idea. And I don't know about you, but for me, my box doesn't expand very far in a problem, in a situation. I think this is a really good idea. And then I have some great C-type personalities like Hollis Little that pat me on the back and say, sweetheart, that's not a good idea, and I'm going to take it from here. So the box can only expand to our biggest idea. They had a problem to solve, and Philip's biggest idea could not conceive what was possible with God's blessing. And I believe what we take from the story is that I think we're all called in some way, shape, or form to shift our perspective from our problem to what's possible with God's blessing. A lot of times we miss God's blessing when we try in our logic to solve our problems. Because here's the thing, I love to problem solve. Do I have any other fixers in the room? Anybody find a problem and you say, I'm ready to fix it? So maybe you're like me and I'll come home and my wife, Lindsay, I kind of open the door and she's got that look on her face. I say, hey, babe. She goes, we have a problem and we're going to need to talk. And a lot of times, maybe you've experienced something similar. When you hear that, you say, we have a problem. All right. I bet I can fix that problem. Let me just, free advice. If your wife tells you we have a problem, you cannot fix that problem. In fact, have you noticed that anytime that you walk into a situation like that, and the reality is she wants me to listen. She wants me to hear her out. She wants to feel validated. But I walk in saying, I think I could fix this. Has anyone else walked into a circumstance committed to fixing an issue only to find that you made that issue 3 times larger by attempting to fix it? Am I the only one? Maybe. That was a little bit of therapy. Thank you that I'm not the only person who does that. Man, I just love problem solving. I want to fix it. And in this story, as we look to what the disciples are doing, when God asks us to do something, it's not a measure of how good we are at problem solving. It's a measure of how God we are willing to let him be. It really doesn't matter how good I am. It matters how God he is. And if God asks you to do something, It's never about how much you have. It's always about what he can do with it. He'll never ask you to solve that problem without providing the provision. And in this story and in our own lives, I believe it's really less about the provision and much more about the provider. And so as this miracle happens in verse 10 through 13, Jesus has the people sit down. He takes the loaves, he gives thanks, he distributes to all who were seated as much as they wanted. So a miracle takes place. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish begin to multiply as Jesus prays thanksgiving over them and blesses them. They keep handing out fish and loaves, and all of a sudden they hand out the 5 and five more. And they continue to give to the point where everyone in the crowd, thousands of people, had as much as they wanted. And then he said, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. And then they filled 12 baskets full of leftovers because of God's provision. And I believe this story is so critical to understanding investment. I believe God is in the business of life change, and he allows us to participate in his process with our investment. When we focus on the provider over the provision, we get to experience that life change firsthand. As leaders, we got to see life change firsthand. Students got to see life change firsthand this week because of their investment and because of your investment. And when we participate in God's process of life change, our investment goes above just a deposit or a checkbox. It becomes an act of worship. This boy, as he walked forward, he handed these fish just out of obedience, and it became an act of worship. And so really another big thought for us this morning is when you invest, it becomes worship, and our worship becomes their way. You may just think, well, I'm just being faithful with what I have, but do you realize that your worship is making a way for someone to know Jesus? That investment is contagious. It's a chain reaction. When you invest, your worship becomes someone else's way. Just like the boy brought what he had, he was participating in the process. And out of obedience, he gave in worship. And God will always bless a worship-filled sacrifice. And I believe we're called to participate in the process of life change at GM. I believe it's an act of worship because when we worship, I believe marriages are saved. I believe families are restored. Many of you have that testimony. You have that story. Our worship leads for people to surrender their hearts and to start serving in the church. Our worship leads for our teenagers to experience life change in a week at camp. Just this week, we saw incredible, incredible things. We saw students who came from broken homes that are damaged and hurt. They found family in Christ. We saw students who knew absolutely nothing about Jesus. They didn't really get the church thing, but they came, and because of the community and because of the investment of you as a church, they experienced salvation. They experienced Jesus. Not only that, they begin to lead in their small groups. They would get saved and turn around and say, no, guys, let's focus. Let's pay attention. Let's really lean in. We saw the chain reaction already beginning. Students who are bound by drug and alcohol abuse. And maybe I don't know if you know this, but this generation is attacked in our culture so much by drugs and alcohol. And it's become almost so commonplace and so normal for our teenagers. And those students who have experienced this took a stand this week and said, no, I'm going to begin my journey to freedom, and I'm done with that lifestyle. There's a couple quick stories I'd love to share just as we wind down this morning, and one of them is that specifically a student who had been battling drugs and alcohol for a long time, he came to camp this year, and he was really stepping up, really leading. And in that process, right when we were getting on the bus, he told us, a couple leaders, he said, hey, I've been thinking about it since last year. I went to camp, and I'm actually celebrating 1 year of sobriety coming back to camp. That investment was not just an emotional moment and fun in Colorado. It was life change. A student was different and will always be different because of your investment. Another story I love is on our third day, we took a hike in the beautiful mountains, and we decided we really need to spend some time really focusing on listening to God. And I don't know about you, I'm a great talker. I've had to work really hard at being a good listener. And I think a lot of times in our culture, we're so distracted. We talk and we don't listen well. And so we took some time, about 45 minutes to an hour, we hiked and we took a vow of silence. And the purpose of this was to say, God, we're going to quiet our hearts and our minds. You come speak to us. We had a girl who went on that hike and was really wanting to engage God. and really looking and waiting and trying to find God. And in that moment of silence, she had an encounter on that mountain with Jesus, came back, and in the service that night, she gave her life to Jesus for the very first time. When a leader asked her, what was different, what changed? She said, well, when I got quiet, I finally heard God speak to me. And because of the investment of that girl, her life has changed completely. One final story, one student this week shared with me that he did not want to come to camp. He said, I'm going to be honest with you, Andrew. I didn't really want to be here. Kind of didn't feel like coming, kind of here against my will a little bit. And in that moment, that student said, you know, I just am not interested. I don't really know. He was hesitant, wasn't really interested in some of the participation, would kind of do their own thing. But by the end of the week, because of your investment, because of the investment of our leaders and our students, he ran up to me the last night, tears in his eyes, pulled me in a big hug saying thank you because he accepted Jesus for the very first time and his life will never be the same because of it. Because of your worship, your investment, life change happened. We are just blown away by how much life change happened, and it's because of you. It's because of you as a church, as Genesis Metro Church. Maybe you don't think you're that involved with student ministry, or you don't really know what those crazy teenagers do on Wednesday nights, but listen, your investment changed these crazy teenagers' lives completely. And I wanted to just bring a few little statistics. I like seeing some statistics. We measure life change, and we measure a win by life change in response to God's word. And when these students took a week to focus on God's word and engage him in his presence, I want to show you what happened. Jesse mentioned earlier, we took about 270 people to Estes Park, massive group, 5 charter buses. And you can ask the kids, the charter bus trip was a little wild with some crazy drivers up in there. A little bit of a sore subject right now, but we'll laugh about it later. So we took 270 kids and adult leaders, and let me pause to say, out of those 270, we had about 40 leaders that took vacation time, they took off work, that was their vacation, was to stay up in the morning until 2 a.m. listening to kids eat Cheetos and laugh and then get up at 6 and eat cold waffles. This was an investment from our leaders. So can we take a minute and just honor our leaders who came? So not including leaders, we really had about 230 students, teenagers, that came to this trip. We passed out some decision cards towards the end of the week, and we just wanted to hear back, hey, did you have an encounter? Did you have a life-changing moment with Jesus? Out of those 230, 90%, 209 students said something shifted and I'll never be the same. Forty-seven students said, I'm committing to this church. I'm committing to leadership. I'm taking a step up. I'm committing to get off drugs and alcohol. I'm committing to stopping this unhealthy behavior in my life because of my encounter with Jesus. I'm not going to do these things anymore. That was amazing. Not only that, we had 87 kids who came up and said, hey, I've been off track, but today I am rededicating my life to Jesus, and I'm going to continue to live for him and put my life back on the path it needs to be. And not only that, but 75 students now will know Jesus in eternity because of your investment this week. One of my favorite last statistics here. As a church, I want you to know, because of your faithful giving and your investment into the next generation, you scholarshiped over 60 kids to come to camp. 60 students that would not have had the opportunity to come to camp came because of you. And 45 of those students had a life-changing moment, whether salvation or rededication. Because of your investment, 45 lives, 209 lives will never be the same ever again. That's something to celebrate. As we close this morning, what I really want to say in all of this is, number one, to thank you as a church for your investment in the next generation. But I also want to say that when you invest, you will encounter God in bigger ways than you can possibly imagine. When we look at the provider over the provision, we see God's blessing in the picture, and he will always do with what we have far greater than we could ever do by ourselves. And so my question as we close this morning is, where are you in the process? How are you participating? Because I believe God has called all of us to participate in this process. Where is your investment? Where could you be pouring in? Where could you be giving? Where could you be doing something? Because I promise you, it is not fruitless. And we've seen this week that when you invest, life change happens. And I believe that God is allowing us to participate in his process so that we can see life change happen when we are faithful with what we have to give. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for the amount of life change that we saw this week. God, only you could have done this. God, thank you for this church who is faithful to invest, who is faithful to participate in your process. God, thank you that you were fruitful and that life change occurred for those 209 students, those 75, God, that because of this week now, they know you for eternity. For the 87 kids who put their lives back on track, for the 47, God, who committed to step up and to do more with what you've given them. God, for each and every student, God, I pray that you would seal that in their hearts through your Holy Spirit. I pray it would not stop here. I pray the investment process would continue, that it would be contagious, that because of the testimony and the lives of students, that more students would come to know Jesus, that those students would go home into their families and that their families would look different, that families would come together in the church. God, I pray that the city of Frisco is different because of few student ministries, because of those children who came and said, I will live for Jesus. God, that you would change the city, that you would change our hearts. And God, we thank you in advance in faith, knowing that you will. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand? We're going to worship God.